Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the fourth edition of the Trans-Pyrenees Race, supported by our race partners, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design. It's day three at TPR number four, and later this morning, we expect to see our leading riders become the first to reach the Atlantic coast and control point four in Thuringamundi. Robin Imperla, cap number one, is still leading, with Anatol Naimi, cap 44, and Manuel Rudaz, cap 31, doing everything they can to chase him down. One rider who won't be doing that, though, is Robert Muller, cap 60, who made the decision to scratch at control point three after yesterday's treacherous hiker bike in hotel sandals. Further back, a bunch of riders are likely to spend the day racing towards control point three to try and make it before the 8 p.m. cutoff time for general classification. Race reporter Tom Probert is out on the course.
Morning, welcome to day three. It's Tom here from Control Car One. We're just hiking up a gravel track from the summit of Col de Tonte, which some of our riders are going to be doing later today. Once again, we got up early and drove up the climb as the sun was coming up, and now the sun's fully up, we're surrounded by a huge kind of bowl vista to our left, massive valley with really exposed rock, little dusting of snow on the top, and we're walking up this really, really craggy track, and it's extremely cold, and there's a really vicious wind blowing down the valley as well. So yeah, quite a hostile environment for our riders.
Hostile, yes, but for some riders, a little hiker bike is also a chance to stretch the legs. Juan Miri, cap 93.
It is great to be able to walk. It is very good for the legs.
Yeah? Is it a relief?
Yes.
And you've changed your footwear up here, especially for the hiker bike.
Yeah.
What are you wearing here?
It's like a kind of very lightweight trekking shoes. They're very comfortable, and it is great for the... I don't know how to say it, but it is very good for the feet.
The feet are more free than in your cycling shoes.
Yeah. So yesterday I had a very good cotelet.
I was going to ask you about your food.
No, but it was amazing, the party that it was in Le Saint-Sauveur. That I arrived, that there were bands playing, party everywhere. Yeah. It was great.
And you found some good food there?
Yeah. It took a little bit of time because all the restaurants were full. But yes, it was great.
Byron Book, cap 24.
So what are you anticipating on this hiker bike section?
Mostly pushing my bike or carrying it. I'm not expected to be able to ride much. I think it's about 5K. I'm guessing it's going to take a few hours. I think it'd be a tricky enough walk, so with a bike, yeah, it'd be even trickier.
Was it a tough decision whether to do this or to go the long way round?
No, not really, because the long way round's so much longer. This is going to be tricky, but no, in terms of time, I think it's a no-brainer. Yeah. I'm just glad I'm not doing it in the dark, actually, which, that was obviously a possibility, but yeah.
Was that excellently well planned, or was that just kind of good luck that you arrived at this point?
I was just riding the speed I could ride, so wherever I get to is not really in my control. So it's just whatever the legs can do. I certainly didn't delay or anything to get here in the light.
Rob Hyde, cap 82.
Are you having a nice morning?
Yeah, it's got better now. It's not -1.
-1, is that what you're dealing with?
Yes, it was -1 on the Tourmalet in the dark. Oof. Yeah, so that wasn't fun. And then I had to come off it. And then climbing this thing's been actually quite nice. It's climber didn't know, and definitely a highlight already.
It's stunning, isn't it?
It is really nice. This bit's a bit of a grind, but to be honest, it's nicer than the Tourmalet was. So it's not often you think that 2,000 metre mountain is nicer than another one, but it is.
Are you finding each different Col and climb has its own sort of character, and you're managing to distinguish between them.
Yeah, I mean, Col d'Aspin I remembered from last year because of the smell, which is quite weird. Yeah. Just a weird smell up there. Not weird,
what's
but nice.
Like?
Don't know, trees or honey or something, something mountainy. So that was good. And then, yeah, Tourmalet is just suffering for about 20k. Yeah.
Ben Wormold, Cap 29.
So we're here basking in the sunlight.
It's a lot warmer than I was earlier on this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I descended the Tourmalet this morning. It was so beautiful. Just the sun hadn't quite risen, but there was some light on the peaks of the mountains. It was so nice. But going downhill, like, I was wearing all of my clothes, including waterproof trousers, everything, and it was just not quite enough. Got to the bottom, and my hands were pretty sore, but I managed to warm up now, and we're in the sun now, so yeah, it's beautiful. I took a little detour into Gavarnie to have a little look at the big rock formation there. So.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I thought, why not?
The Cirque
de Gavarnie, to have a better view of it.
Oh great.
Just had a coffee there. I thought I'd come all this way.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely way to start the day.
Race mode went out of the window for half an hour, just for that reason. But.
While most have chosen this same gravel shortcut, there is a much longer, flatter road option that some riders have taken. But James Ellman, Cap 77, is happy with his choice to tackle the gravel.
How are you feeling about the hiker bike?
Not too bad. Yeah, it's all down, so up hiker bike is a lot harder than down hiker bike with a loaded bike.
It's good logic.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
I reckon I can do down.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And you weren't tempted to do the kind of long route around?
You know, I didn't even realise there was one.
Okay.
I had a look.
Yeah.
My routing has been limited and actually amazingly good so far, given how little time I spent on it.
That's experience showing there, isn't it?
The bulk of it was the day before in Girona. And I didn't clock there was another way around. People have been talking about it, but it must have been so far out that I didn't even look at it.
In terms of the state of the race, Robin Gemperla and Manuel Rudaz right up there at the top of the race, of course. Both had a chunky sleep, about 4 hours each during the night. Robin's now positioned just on the coast, ready to hit the parkour number 4 when he wakes up. And then Anatole's probably about an hour and a half behind them. The next rider looks to be number 47, Sylvain Arancé. Fiona Kolbinger is still the fastest woman out there. She had a 4 hour sleep as well and timed it to perfection to wake up and get out on the road with a 20 minute gap back to number 9, Molly Weaver, a bit like a Formula One car just pulling out of the pit lane ahead of the next car along. Esther Lloyd, still the third fastest woman on the road, as she is just starting the gravel section approaching CP3.
Back on the Col de Tente, Tom speaks to Toon de Keyser, Cap 101A, who is waiting for his pairs partner, Jorn Blukens, Cap 101B.
My ass hurts a little bit, sorry for the words.
Saddle sores?
Yeah, a little bit. So I'm changing position of the saddle all the time.
Yeah.
I hope it's going to be fine. It's just a mental... It's not nice to bike with the pain. It's really what you think of, and that's not what you want while biking.
Jorna soon arrives at the scene too.
We were saying he's going to get a rest because of the hiker bike.
Yes, and then he puts his ass in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't let it relax.
Exactly. So.
Sorry, I didn't choose the topic, you did.
Yeah, that's true. What do you want to talk about?
That it's an excellent scenery, and I think it's about 10 degrees warmer than yesterday.
Tim Budd, Cap 66.
My rather apparently ambitious schedule was to get to Tour Odessa yesterday. Yesterday evening, I suppose, if I could have carried on, I might have done it by about 3 o'clock this morning, but came down to the Sainte Savoie. Well, I got to the top of Tourmalet, looked for some place to stay in the Sainte Savoie, and there's a massive festival going on down there, yesterday. Mm-hmm. Lots of music, lots of people dancing, which is pretty cool, but no place to stay.
Yeah.
So I managed to get a hotel in Gavarnie, which was horrifically expensive, but I slept for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Had a lovely breakfast. And now my knees are starting hurting, which is not so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, every morning thus far, at this time, I've been entertaining thoughts of scratching.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how I do going on the other side. Yeah. I've been given very specific instructions. Don't scratch when you're tired.
Yeah.
Don't scratch when you're hungry. Don't scratch when you're thirsty. Don't scratch in the day. Don't scratch at night.
so never scratch.
So basically, I've got no excuses, yeah. But flipping egg, yeah, it's been a challenge thus far. So we'll see how I feel when I get to Odessa.
At 11:01 on day 3, Robin Gemperla is first to ride into control point 4 on the Atlantic coast. He's been first to every control point on the race so far, and after a brief rest and kit sort, he is quickly out on the road again. Around an hour later, having overtaken Manuel Rudaz, Anatole Naimi is the second rider to roll into CP4. Anatole speaks to race reporter Stuart Downey.
It's a hard night because it was cold.
It was cold and really humid.
Mm-hmm.
We suffered. I put the windstopper, I put the shake dry in the down jacket, and it was still cold. Uh-huh. Even while I was riding, so I was like,
oh, really?
It was horrible.
How do you feel now? You're glad to be here?
Oh, I have to keep going. There's no choice. I really need some sleep. Yeah, maybe later on. Like a book. Like a place nearby the Tourmalet. I've seen that when I was on holiday. Maybe I'll try to go there.
So you can aim for there and maybe get a sleep later on.
I don't know. I just need like something inside, maybe a bank or something.
Simon Everett is one of our returning volunteers at this year's race, stationed at Control Point 4.
So this is my third TPR. I volunteered for TPR number 2 just because I like cycling and I thought it'd be fun. Liked that so much. Came back last year, went to Glisgarney and, yeah, had a ball. So here I am again, volunteering, welcoming the riders into what is a pretty remote checkpoint, but very nice checkpoint, with a fellow crew of, other cycling nuts. I think it's a really good way of having a holiday and having an adventure. So, you know, do the checkpoint, bring the bike. I've cycled in from Bilbao to here, and now I'm going to, when the control point closes, I'm going to cycle back to Bilbao and have a little adventure. And it's just, yeah, that's a really nice aspect of it. And then feeling like a small part of the community of the race is quite cool as well, because I know a few people who are riding, meeting a few people who, you know, I've known do the race, get to see them again, and it's just a fun little community to be involved with.
Less than 2 hours after Anatole's arrival, Manuel Rudaz arrives at the coast and Control Point 4.
Have you been looking at the tracker much?
Yeah. Hopefully, otherwise I would go first here and then do the parkour 4. So I saw the others directly go to parkour 4. So I was doing a mistake, but yeah, it's okay.
Saved it. That's good.
Yeah, but I haven't any route then, so I just followed what. What has done
Robin? Anatole?
Anatole, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you see Robin on the road earlier as well? Or?
Yeah. I crossed him.
Say hello.
Yeah. He was like this. Yeah. All good. We see you in Girona.
Things are getting tense at Control Point 3 in Torla Odessa as the 8 p.m. GC cut-off time looms. The team in Control Car 1 are there to welcome some of those riders who are looking to keep their hopes of finishing within general classification alive.
We're looking at the tracker here at CP3, trying to work out who might be able to make it before the time cutoff, which is in half an hour, isn't it?
Yeah, we've been looking at the tracker, wondering which of the riders out there are still going to get down here. And it looks, we were wondering if Caroline Buckland and Moritz Wurtenberg were going to make it. And it looks like they're going to get here with about half an hour to spare in just a few minutes. Unfortunately, we were hoping Petra Shearer might make it. It looks like she's still out on the mountain in quite close proximity to Sam Wilson and Shaun Alaba. So they're probably all going to miss the cut by about an hour.
Oh, it's the cruel part of the race, isn't it? Where someone's always got to miss the time cut off by, sometimes it's only a matter of minutes.
Tom speaks to volunteer Andrea as they wait for riders to roll in.
Yeah, here we have a rider coming. I think we have a couple more, but then we can see that we have at least five riders that are going to be at the end of the road and starting a hike a bike, which is can take up to 3 hours. So it's almost six and we're closing in 2 hours. So I think we'll be just a little bit too late coming in.
So if those guys are not going to make it, how many more people are going to make it today, or is that it?
We have one rider now, another one probably approaching soon, and then we have an issue like with GPS. GPS is not really updating efficiently up there at 2,400 meters. So we'll see. It's a surprise.
There might be some surprises in then.
It's exciting a little bit, but also we feel bad for those who will not gonna make it, because it's a tough road. So they should be rewarded somehow, but it's a challenge.
There's always going to be some people that are disappointed, aren't there, every year?
Yeah. Let's hope they make it.
Julien Duplay, Cap 90, makes it safely into CP3 before the time cut off, although he appears to have forgotten that such a thing exists.
Were you at all worried about the cut off time?
I don't remember that there is a cut off time.
Well, that's a good tactic.
And I just saw on my card, oh, there is a cut off time at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
So it's 5. Oh.
So were you kind of deliberately not looking at that, or you just kind of forgot?
I plan to do the first way in 4 days and come back in 5 days.
Okay.
So it's just a
simple plan.
Yeah.
Nice. So far,
a little early, so I need to. I don't know. What can I do?
You're ahead of schedule.
Yes, a little. Okay.
George Kitto, Cap 56, also reaches CP3 and remains on track for a GC finish.
It's just been awesome, incredible experience. Like so many different places, lots of different riding. Lots of challenging climbs, but, you know, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
And I've actually enjoyed all of them. Like, you know, it's been really good.
Yeah. Any highlights amongst those climbs?
I've not been up the Tourmalet that way. I came up the Tourmalet from Lausanne-Saveur about 20 years ago on the first ever bike tour I went on. Yeah. And that was partly why I chose to do this race, because I wanted to come back here. And so I'd not been up that way. And that descent is amazing always. Yeah. Actually really enjoyed the climb up from Gavary, I think it is. Yeah, that was a really stunning climb. I saw about 15 marmots as well, which is always good for a
Col de Tente.
Col de Tente. And then just that little ride before you start coming down, and just all along the top there was just, you know, just unreal.
Great. So you're buzzing. You've had a really good time.
It's been fantastic.
Brian Bourayoul, Cap 92.
So you've just checked in at Control Point 3. How does that feel?
Yeah, just in time. I'm very lucky. I made it. Had a tough day in the long climb where I had problems with my knees, but I'm very happy I made it here. I think it's a very beautiful location here. I saw it just like sundown timing, and here, just got my stamp in my brevet card. I'm pretty proud I made it.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
And you got in just before the time cut off, right?
Yeah, I just came here 2 minutes past 7 or so.
Yeah.
So at 8, close the checkpoint, so just in time.
That's great.
Perfect timing.
Moritz Wurtenberg, Cap 54.
How are you doing? Just arrived at CP3, you're shoving a cake into your face.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get lost with the Flemish GPS directions this time, obviously.
Mm. No, but the gravel trail, I assumed it was easier. I had to push it all the way from the top. Horrible, horrible experience. I hate hiking. With a bike, it's even worse. So, lovely. Lovely.
So, were you expecting to be able to ride all that?
No, but at least like half of it or like a third. But I made it here.
And then did you have to really push to try and get here before the time cut off?
Not on the descent, but on the ascent I had to push a bit. But it was okay. It was okay.
And did you feel a bit stressed coming in here, or was everything under control?
Yeah, no, it was okay. I was annoyed because I had to walk, but no, I came in quite good. Yeah.
How did it feel to just make that time cut off?
I hope to be here sooner, but yeah, glad I made it. Yeah, better late than never.
As the team wait for the last riders to reach control point 3 before cut-off time, Tom speaks to Jim Page, who rode TPR number 3 and is back this year as a volunteer.
Yeah, raced it last year and was just blown away with the beauty of the mountains and the race and the people. And I wanted to share that with my wife, Wendy. So I decided, you know, let's go to the Pyrenees. Let's have a holiday. We'll go and drive around, see the beauty of the mountains. And then an opportunity came around to volunteer. And I suppose that opportunity to be part of the race and to share the other side of it with Wendy about, you know, what I went through, I suppose, and what it's like, and to see other riders and everything else. And also just to give something back to the race that has given me my life back, really. So, you know, blown away by it all, really.
Are you okay to talk about, to expand on that, how it's given you your life back, or is that quite a big thing?
I suppose when you're doing something like this, you realise that you realise what's important in life, and it gave me an opportunity to just get some clarity in my life and to get that white noise away and really think about what was important, which is my family and my friends. And I suppose I went back to the UK really clear, made some drastic decisions and for the better, and it's changed our lives, really. It's been amazing.
So this is kind of a celebration in a way, coming back here to reconnect with that.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, and Wendy loves it too. So it's worked out in my favour. Beautiful. Yeah.
At 7:33 p.m., Caroline Buckland, Cap 34, rides into Torla Odessa as the last rider to get there within the GC cut-off time. That's despite losing almost an entire day to mechanical issues.
Well done, you've made it to control point 3 before the cut-off.
Woohoo! I actually hadn't realised it was 8 o'clock, I thought it was midnight.
Oh, so you were just chilled.
I was chilled and then I was like, oh!
So it could have gone wrong, you could have been having a long lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm going to say that didn't happen, you've made it. But yeah. I imagine, yeah, you were probably planning to be here a lot sooner than this, weren't you?
I kind of expected to be here at about 5 o'clock. That was my...
No, but with the... With all of your mechanicals.
Oh, before that, yeah. No, I was hoping to be here sometime last night.
Yeah.
So no, that was about. It was first night at 8 p.m. Just fell into a pothole and it just completely rinsed the back tire. I had like 9 plugs in it and it just didn't do the job because it was all on the rim that it burst.
What was going through your head when that was happening?
I thought I was going to have to scratch, which is a bit of a shame on a redemption year, trying to come back after having not being able to finish last year. But no, but we're here. So it turned around quickly. As soon as I had the new tire on and I was underway again, I felt okay. And it's kind of in your own hands at that point, isn't it?
Race director, Hannah Lobelestier.
So we arrived at control point 3 late this afternoon in time to see those last riders making the time cut here. So while we saw Caroline and Moritz making that time cut with about half an hour to spare, there were a few riders just missing out. So it looks like Sam Wilson arrived missing out on that time cut by about 5 minutes. We haven't seen him, but we did see Shaun on his way through town. And not meaning to rhyme there. We saw Shaun and he seemed quite shaken by how tough he'd found that hiker bike. He said that he hadn't been to church in 12 years, but he was saying his prayers up there because he was having such a hard time. So yeah, he's staying here for the night and getting some rest, and then he'll carry on with his race tomorrow. And it looks like Petra Shearer has also found a hotel for the night at the control point. But again, she's gone to bed, so we haven't been able to chat to her, but maybe we'll see her in the early hours.
His race coordinator, David Eyre, with a summary of the day.
It's been another exciting day at the front of the race today on TPR number four. The front three riders, Robin Gempola, Anatole Naimi and Manuel Rudaz, have all been within a couple of hours of one another over the course of the day. They're already well into the Raid Parkour, which is the fixed return route all the way back to Girona. So we've seen Robin Gempola starting to climb the Obisque this evening, which is already a really significant point in the race, which means he's heading for the Tourmalet for the second time during this edition of TPR. The pace doesn't seem to be letting up in the slightest. They seem to be able to hold a really high speed and with minimal rest as well. So it will be interesting to see, I suppose, the balance of resupply over the next few days, the different amounts of sleep that they each choose to get, and who goes for the big push to finish back on the Mediterranean coast.
Join us in our next episode as our three leading riders battle it out on the Raid Parkour and its series of punishing famous calls and climbs. We can also expect more riders to reach Thuragamundi and Control Point 4 before saying goodbye to the coastline and heading east to take another trip through the breathtaking landscapes of the Pyrenees Mountains. As always, you can read Stuart's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Stop website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Pedaled, Telfin, Komoot, and Peak Design.